Shalom to all. Today's office is Rabbi Basser Daf Tzadi Aleph, and we are starting about the sixth line with the words Tana Rabbanon. And today's office sponsor Lila Nishmas Marsh Meirim Sarah Basser Yaakov Moshe. Her neshama should have an aliyah. Now we're in the middle of seven brises. We had already learned four, and here's number five. Tana Rabbanon, the brisa says, "Amos Takan Pamayim Beitzim. One is not allowed to gain twice with eggs." What does this mean? So Amar Mari Bar Mari, he tells us, "Pligibo Rav Shmuel argue about this." Chad number one says, "Al Chad Trei." This means one is not allowed to double the price of eggs. When you buy eggs, you can't charge double what you paid for them when you're selling them to somebody else. Chad number one says, Tagra Latigra, it means one merchant to another. We're only allowed to have one middleman when it comes to selling eggs. You could go to the egg farm, buy them, and then you sell them to the customer, and that's fine. But you can't sell them to somebody else who then will sell them to the customer, because that's going to cause the price of eggs to rise too much, and that's not okay. Moving on to price number six, Tana Rabbanan, Masriin al Prakmatia, Vafil Bashabis, we're allowed to be Masriya, which basically means call out, yell, cry out to Hashem regarding business, regarding goods, even on Shabbos. We know that usually on Shabbos, we are not going to daven, even if we're in a time of tzara. However, if it's something very extreme and very pressing, then we will do so. And this brass is telling us one of those cases, whereas if prakmatia goes down, if the prices plummet, and that's going to cause a loss for a lot of people, it's very bad for business, very bad for the markets, we're allowed to cry out about this even on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yochanan tells us, Kagain, for example, clay pisha and bavel, linen garments and bavel, v'yan v'shem and b'artishrol, and wine and oil and b'artishrol, these are very basic staples. Many people made money with them, and if the price plummeted suddenly, then we're allowed to cry out about it even on Shabbos. And Rabbi Yosef says, v'hu dezolva kam asar b'shisa. It has to be that it went down so much that 10 is now being sold for 6. Basically, it's at 60% or less of its original value. That's what we call an emergency, and we can daven for this even on Shabbos. And on to the last brisa, Tana Rabbanon, Ein Yotzin Me'eretz L'Chutz La'aretz, one is not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael and move to Chutz La'aretz. And that's because in Eretz Yisrael, a person is chayav in many more mitzvahs than one is in Chutz La'aretz, and he can't be mafki himself from these mitzvahs, therefore he has to stay in Eretz Yisrael. The only time he's allowed to leave is Elim Kein Amdus Hasayim B'Sela, if the price of wheat is too saw for a sela, which is double the normal price, then he can leave Eretz Yisrael. Now, Rabbi Shimon, he qualifies as Amos Iwanizis, Bizmanche Enu Matzilikach. That's only if he can't find any wheat to buy. Alvazmanche Matzilikach. If he could find wheat to buy, meaning he has the money to buy it, Afilu Amda Saw Besela, even if the price went up so much that it's only one saw per sela, Lo Yetze, he's not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael and he has to stay. And Mechena Rabbi Shimon Michai Omer, Rabbi Shimon Michai says, according to some Gersais, we take out the Ben Yechai, it's just Rabbi Shimon, that Elimelech, Machlan, Vikilion, Gdaila Dar Hayu, Uparnasa Dar Hayu, Elimelech, and his two sons, Machlan and Kilion. If you remember, they're from Megillas Rus. Elimelech's wife was Nami. So these three people, father and two sons, they were the Gedal Hadar, and they were the supporters of the generation. Punish doesn't necessarily mean monetarily, but they were the Askanim. They took care of Klal Yisrael. And Bnei Manenshu, why were they punished? Because they left Eretz Yisrael and went to Chutz La'aretz. And where do we see this? Shenemar, because the Pasuk in Megillas Rus says, everyone was in a conundrum about them. Everyone was in a Mahoma, a Bahala. But Tamarna, and they said, Hazois Nami? Is this Nami? Now the question is, my Hazois Nami? What does it mean? Is this Nami? So Rav Yitzchak, he answers, Amru, they said, Chazisim Nami Sheyatzus Meretz L'Chutz La'aretz. Did you see Nami? She had left from Eretz Yisrael and went to Chutz La'aretz and Ma also law and see what happened to her. As we see the harsh punishment someone receives for leaving Eretz Yisrael and going to Chutz La'aretz. And Amru Yitzchak, Yitzchak also tells us, once we mention the whole story of Elimelech and Nami, and obviously we're going to bring up Rus, I say, Ayyim Shabbos Rus HaMavial Eretz Yisrael, that day that Rus came with her mother-in-law Nami to Eretz Yisrael, Mesa Ishte Shel Baez, Baez's wife died. V'hainu Darmi Inchi, this is what people say, Adeloi Shachiv Shechva, before the father dies, Kaima Mane Beisei, the one who's going to be appointed over his house has already been set up, meaning before the father, who's the one that runs the house, passes away, Hashem already has it set up who's going to take over this person's house. And it's a big lesson to us that anytime it seems to be that something bad is happening, don't worry, Hashem already has the cure in place. He has everything all set up, ready to go. Now, once we mention Bayaz and Rus, we're going to continue talking about this. Amar Rav Bar Avuna, Amar Rav, Ivtson ze Bayaz. Ivtson, who's one of the Shaiftim, he's the same person as Bayaz. They're one and the same. The question is, my Kamash Malan, what's he trying to teach us? What Chiddush are we learning that Ivtson is Bayaz? What does it make a difference to us? And the answer is, Ki idich the Rabbi Rav Huna. This explains something else Rabbi Rav Huna said. Dom Rabbi Rav Huna, Marav, Meiv Esim Mishtais, Aso Bayez Labanov. Bayez made 120 feasts for his children. Shemarka says about Ivtson, Vahila Shleshim Banim Shleshim Banais, he had 30 sons and 30 daughters. Shal Chachutza, he sent the daughters out to Eretz Yisrael. Shleshim Banais, Hevi Labanov Minachutz, and he brought 30 daughters, meaning 30 daughters in law, for his sons from the outside. Vishpat Yisrael Shav Hashanim, and he judged Am Yisrael for 7 years. Ubachal Achas Vachas, Aso Shnei Mishtais, every single year, he made two feasts. Echad Beis Aviv, Vechad Beis Chamav, one in his father's house and one in his Mechutin's house. The one that was made in his house was the Sudas Erusin when they were engaged, and the one he made in the father-in-law's house was the Sudas Nesuin and the Sheva Brachas. That's all considered one Suda. And in Bekulin, with all these Sudas, Loizim Nes Manoach, he did not invite Manoach. Let's remember that Manoach is Shimshon's father. However, at this time, Manoach did not have any children. And Evzan explained himself why he didn't invite Manoach. Amar, he said, Kutna Akara, a mule who can't give birth. But my parley, how is he going to pay me? Obviously, a Shaifet like Evzan is not going to stoop so low to say, I'm not going to invite him to my simcha because he can't invite me to his simcha because he doesn't have any children. He really was saying this out of the kindness of his heart. He felt bad that Manoach doesn't have any children, and if Ivtson is going to invite Manoach to every single one of his chasanas, it's going to be like a stab in his heart that you don't have any children. Ha! And that's why he didn't invite him. However, Tana was taught, all of Ivtson's children died in his lifetime. And it's about this that people say, if in your life you gave birth to 60, shitin lamalech, what do you need 60 for? Because they all died. Carry on and have one more, the mishitin zariz, because that one is going to be more zariz, he's going to be full of alacrity and accomplish more than all those 60. And who's this one referring to? Bayaz, who had a child with Rus. Later on, that child was Ovid, who had Yishai, who had David HaMelech. So we see this one that he had, which refers to David HaMelech, is more zariz than the 60 that he had before. Now it has to be that Ivtson is the same person as Bayaz, because again, the pasuk says that Ivtson had 60 kids, and it says that Bayaz had one kid. And the only way this whole story makes sense is if Ivtson and Bayaz are the same person. Now in the parentheses, we have a simon for what we're going to talk about in the continuation of the Gemara. Simon, Melech, Avram, Eser, Shanim, Shenifter, Nisnasei, Levadai. Tamar, Chan, Barava, Amar, Rav. Here's our first Memra. Elimelech, Vesalmoin, Uplein, Almoini, Ve'avi, Nami. These people, Elimelech, Salmoin, Plein, Almoini, and the father of Nami, Kulim, Ben, Nachshon, Ben, Aminadav, Hain. All of them were the sons of Nachshon, Ben, Aminadav, whom we know was the Nasi of Shevet Yehuda. He's famous for walking into the Yamsuf and causing it to split. And Mike Mashmalon, what's the Chiddush over here? Shafil, Mishesh, Leschos, Avais. Even someone has Chos, Avais like this, Eino, Med, Desloy, Beshash, Yetz, Meres, Chos, Aretz. That Chos is not going to stand for him if he leaves from Eretz Yisrael and goes to Chutz La'aretz. As we see, Elimelech died. Here's our next member, Avram Ruchan Barava, Amar Rav, Imei Davram. What's the mother of Avram Avinu's name? Amasloi Bas Karnavai. Imei Dahaman, the mother of Haman's name was Amasloi Bas Urvasi. So they both had the same name. Vesimanech, how do you remember which one was which? Tamei Tamei Tahar Tahar. The one who's Tamei, his mother had the Tamei name. Namely, Haman, his mother had the Tamei name, Amasloi Bas Urvasi. Urvasi is the Lashon of Irev, which is a crow, that's a Tamei bird. Whereas the Tahar one, Avram, his mother had the Tahar name. Karnavai is like a Lashon of Karim, which means fattened sheep, which are Tahar. Imei de David, the mother of David HaMelech, Nitzavas Bas Hadol Shema, that was her name. And Imei de Shimshon, the mother of Shimshon, Tzlafaynes, that was her name. And Vachasai, Shimshon's sister, was Nishayon. And the question is, Lainaf Kamino, what does it make a difference? Why do we have to know all these people's names? And the answer is, L'shuvas HaMinim, in order to be able to respond to Minim, to heretics, to Kaifrim, they read through Tanakh and they say, well, we mention all these people all the time and we don't know their names. We know the names of the mothers of Yitzchak and Yaakov, but what about Avram? And we see that Shimshon's mother is mentioned all the time, but we don't know her name. And what about David HaMelech? And so in order to be able to answer them, here we have their names. And onto another member of Avram Chan Barava, Amar Rav, Ezer Shanim Nichbash Avram Ravinu. Avram Ravinu was jailed for 10 years. This was either by King Nimrod because he rebelled against him, or by his father himself because he broke all of his idols. Shalosh B'Kusa V'Shev B'Kurdu. 3 of those years were in Kusa, 7 were in Kurdu. Ravdim Min Ardo Masi Ipcha. He teaches the opposite, that it was 7 in Kusa and 3 in Kurdu. And in Rechizah he tells us, Ibra Ze'ira the Chusa, place called Ibra Ze'ira in Chusa, Zeu Urkastim, that is Urkastim, where Avram Ravinu was thrown into the fiery furnace. And Amar Rav Chana Barava, Amar Rav, another memra, Isa Yom Shenifter Avram Ravinu Min Ha'olam, the day that Avram Ravinu passed away, Amdu Kol Gdai Umas Ha'olam B'Shura, all the greats of all the other nations of the world stood in a row, V'Amar, and they said, Oy Loy La'olam, woe is to the world, Sha'avad Manhigai, that lost its leader, Tzadi Alpha and Beza on top, V'Oy Loy La'sfina, and woe to the ship, Sha'avad Kabarinta, that lost its captain. On to another memra, the Pasuk tells us, V'Amisnasi L'chal Raish, and Hashem is sovereignty over every leader. And Amar Rav Chana Barava, Amar Rav, what's this teaching us, Afili Reish Gargusa Mishmaya Mukmile, even someone who's in charge of all the water, who's allowed to take water and irrigate their field this day, when is he allowed to take water? Even such a person, who's really not so chashuv, he's the one that's appointed and set up from Shemayim. That's what it means. Hamasnasei l'chol roish, Hashem has sovereignty over every single leader, even ones that are not really so chashuv. Now we just go back to Elimelech and Machlon and Kilyon, who we had said left Eretz Yisrael when they shouldn't have. However, Amar Chibur Avin, Amar Mishu Ben Karcha, Chas v'shalom, Shafil Matzoi Subin lo yatsu. Even if they had found bran to eat, they wouldn't have left. Ve'elo b'nei mananchu, so why were they punished? If they left because there was no food, they shouldn't have been punished at all. There was simply no food. That's why they went. And the answer is, they should have asked for mercy for their generation, and they didn't. They were the leaders, so they should have davened. And how do we know this? Because the pasuk says, when you cry out, you will be saved by your gathered ones. And it's referring to the Gedolim, the great people, the leader of this generation, tell everyone that they have to come together and cry out together. That's what kibbutzayach is. All the gathered ones, their cries are going to save everyone. And this is what Elimelech and Machlon Kilyon should have done, and that's why they were punished. Now continue to talk about a reason why one is allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. This was only taught if money is cheap and pears are expensive. Meaning the discussion of when a person is allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael due to the fact that the prices went up is only if people have money. It's just that everything costs a lot of money. So everything doubled in price, and the price it tells us that one can leave. But if it hadn't doubled, then you're not allowed to leave. Aval mois beyiker. But if money is hard to come by, meaning people simply don't have any money, afilu amdu arba sa'im besela, yaitzin. Even if the prices are normal, it's 4 sa' per sela. One is still allowed to leave because he simply doesn't have any money to buy food. Now in the parentheses, we have a simon for the next things that we're going to be talking about. Sela, Pael, Charuva, Talia Amrin, and the first thing is a raya for what we just mentioned. Dom Rabbi Yechon, Rabbi Yechon said, Nehirna, I remember Kad Havu Kaimin Arbasa and Besela, that the prices of wheat in Eretz Yisrael were 4 saw per sela. That's regular prices. Bavnefishi Nefiche Kafan Betveria, and there were tons of people who were swollen from hunger in Tveria, Midalas Isser, because they simply didn't have Isser. Isser is a tiny little coin. They didn't even have this amount of money to buy food, and so we see that even though food was fairly inexpensive, people simply didn't have any money to buy it, and for this reason, one would be allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. We can go on to more memories about Rabbi Yechon, and he tells us, Nehirna, I remember Kadloi Havu Mizgarn Poyalaya, workers would not hire themselves out, Leminach Karta, to the east of the city, and that's because Meriach Pita Meisen, they would die because of the smell of the bread. The bread was baked on the west of the city, and the wind would blow towards the east, and while they're working, if they would smell this bread and not be able to eat it, they would die, so they just wouldn't hire themselves out to work in this area of the city. On to another member of Rabbi Yechon, and he tells us, Nehirna, I remember that the fruits of Eretz Yisrael were so juicy, Kad Havu Batsa Yenuka Charuva, when a child would break open a carob, Vava Nagar Chud Dosha, Al Trin Der Ahi, a splash or like a strip of carob honey would flow onto his two arms. Rabbi Blazer saw something similar. Nehirna, I remember, Kad Havu Natal Urva Bisra, when a raven would fly down and grab a piece of meat, Vava Nagar Chud Dimishcha, May Re Shura of Al Ara, a strip or stream of fat would go all the way from the top of a wall to the bottom, because that's how fatty and juicy the meat was. On to another member now discussing the holiness of the people, Vamar Biachan, he tells us, Nehirna, I remember, Kad Havu Matail and Talia Vitalyasa Bashuka, that a young boy and girl would play in the marketplace, they were 16 and 17 years old, and they wouldn't sin, and obviously later on it changed, and people even at a much younger age would sin. And on to our last member, Rabbi Yechon, he tells us, Nehirna, I remember, Karhavu Armin Beim Joshua, they would say in the Beis Medrash, the Maidi Lahain, Nafalbi Dehain, one who agrees to them, meaning if you agree to the opinion of Avdei Avodah Zarah, and you say that they're right, you're going to fall on their hands, and the Misrachat Alehain, whoever benefits from them, the Alei Lahain, his stuff is going to become theirs. And going back to our discussion of Megillas Ros, now talking about the two sons of Avimelech, namely Machlan and Kilion. So Ksev, one pasuk tells us Machlan and Kilion. Seemingly, these were their names. Ksev, but another pasuk says in Devar Yamim, Yoish Vesarof, and those were their names. So the question is, what were their real names? Rav Shmuel, they argue about this. Chaim one says, Machlan and Kilion Shman, Lomanik Shman, Sarof and Yoish, why were they called this in Devar Yamim? Yoish, because Shenis Yashu Min HaGeula, they gave up hope of the Geula, of Hashem saving them, and Sarof, Shenis Chayv Yusreif L'makayim, they were really chayv to be burned. But Chaim, the other one says, Yoish Vesarof Shman, these were really their names, Lomanik Shman, Machlan and Kilion, so why were they called Machlan and Kilion Megillas Ros? Machlan, Shasu Gufan Chulin, Machlan because they made their guf chulin, and Mechilion, Shenis Chayv Kliel L'makayim, they deserve to be destroyed. Tanya Kamanda or Machlan and Kilion Shman, we have a brass that's like the Amanda Omar, that their names were Machlan and Kilion. The Tanya, the brass that tells us, Matil Sev was Pshat in the Pasuk, Vyoykim Vaanche Kuziba, Vyoyash Sarof, Asher Boloy Lamayov, Vyashuvi Lochem Vadvar Matikim. Now we explain what this Pasuk is referring to. Vyoykim Ze Yeshua, Shehekim Shvua Laanche Givain is referring to Yeshua, who made a Shvua for the people of Givain. These were people who were dressed up as if they came from a very far place. They approached Yeshua right when he entered Eretz Yisrael with the armies of Bnei Yisrael, and they claimed that they came from afar and that they wanted to make peace. And really, they were from seven nations that had to be destroyed, but Yeshua did not know that, so he made a shvua with them that he's not going to destroy them. Now, Va'anche Kuziv, the pasuk tells us, Elu Anche Givon, this referring to the people of Givon, because of Yeshua, they lied to Yeshua, like we just described. The pasuk continues telling us, V'yosh V'saraf, who's this referring to? Elu Machlan V'Kilion. This is Machlan and Kilion. V'lamon Kashman Yosh V'saraf. So why are they called Yosh V'saraf? Yosh Shenis Yashu Min HaGeula, like we just said, and Saraf Shenis Chayv Usreif L'Makayim. And so here we have a source in Braisa that their real names were Machlan and Kilion. The Braisa just continues. What's the pasuk telling us by saying Asher Bulay L'Mayav Shenasu Nashim Yavayos? They married Mayavi women. And the pasuk also says V'yashuvi Lachem. Who's that referring to? Zu Rus HaMayavia. This is Rus Sheshava V'Nidbukav Beis Lachem Yehuda. That she returned. She went to Eretz Yisrael and she clung to Beis Lachem Yehuda, which basically means that her progeny, her offspring, was the house of Yehuda, namely David HaMelech. And the pasuk concludes V'advar Matikim Dvarim Halalu Atik Yomaya Amron. These words were said by the Atik Yomin, referring to Hashem, meaning we see these events hinted to even way before. Where is this? The pasuk says, Matsasi David Avdi, I found David my servant, and Medrash explains that Matsasi David Avdi b'Sadaim, so we see David HaMelech being connected to Sadaim, and Uksiv it says in regards to Lot's daughters, Shtei ben Aisecha nimtza Ais, your two daughters that are found, and we know what happened after Lot and his two daughters were saved from Sadaim, that his older daughter lived with him and had a child, and this was Mayav, and Rus came from Mayav. So we see this lashon of Matsasi by David, and that's referring to Sadaim. And we see this lashon of Hanim Tsa'is, the same lashon, with the two daughters of Light, also having to do with Sadaim. And again, that's where Mayav came from. So this is already hinted to a long time ago. And we continue with another pasuk that we're not going to translate literally. We're just going to bring the drasha. Hema Hayotzrim V'yoshvei Noitim G'deira Im HaMelech Memlachto Yashru Sham. So what's this referring to? Hema Hayotzrim Elu B'nei Yonadav Ben Rechav Shenatzru Shvua Saviem. This is referring to the sons of Yonadav Ben Rechav. They listened to the Shvua of their father. Their father had told them that because the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed due to the words of the Navi kept on warning everyone that the Beis HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. Their father said, no drinking wine, no partying, no having a good time. And even though the Navi tried to invite them, come sit and drink and have wine, they didn't listen because they said, our father said not to do so, and the pasuk is praising them, that they guarded, they kept to the shua of their father. The pasuk continues by telling us, literally this means dwellers of young trees. So Shlomo is referring to Shlomo HaMelech, he's like a young tree, a sapling in his malchus. He started out young and fresh, and he continued getting strong and stronger as time went on. Ugder, the pasuk tells us, Zu Sanhedrin, this is referring to Sanhedrin, they fence, they make a gather of all the pirtzos, all the openings, the breaches of Am Yisrael. The pasuk continues by telling us, Im HaMelech Mimlachta Yashru Sham, Zu Rus HaMoeviyah, this is referring to Rus, She Rus HaMachos Shlomo Ben Benoi Shel Ben Benoi. She actually saw the malchus of Shlomo, who is the grandson of her grandson. And how do we know this? Because the pasuk says, this in regards to Shlomo HaMelech, Vayasem Kisei Le'im HaMelech, he placed a chair for the mother of the king. Now the pasuk itself is telling us that Bathsheba, his mother, came to talk to him. And then it says that he placed a chair for the mother of the king. Now it seems redundant. Since Bathsheba was talking to him, it should have just said he placed a chair for her. Why say he placed a chair for the mother of the king? Vamar Blazer. Blazer explains, Le'im Shal Malchus, this is referring to the mother of all Malchus, namely Rus, his great-grandmother. She was there, and he put a chair for her. And Tanabana, we have a Braisa. This discusses the bracha that we're going to have when we keep mitzvahs properly. The pasuk tells us that we're going to have 3 years of grain. The sixth year of the Shemitah cycle is going to produce enough for the sixth year, seventh year, and eighth year, and we're not going to be lacking anything. As the pasuk tells us, V'chatim ha-tevuah yashan, you're going to eat from the tevuah yashan. What does this tell us? B'loi salmantoin, there's not going to be salmantoin. My b'loi salmantoin, what does this mean? So Rav Nachman Amar, he says, B'loi ritzinsa, the grain that grows in the sixth year is not going to get wormy at all. Whereas Rav Sheshes Amar, he tells us, B'loi shadifa, it's not going to decay. It's not going to get heated up from the inside and totally rot. And Tankavas Rav Sheshes, Tankavas Rav Nachman, we have a brisa both like Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes. Tankavas Rav Nachman, what's the brisa like Rav Nachman? It says in the pasuk, V'chatim yashan, what do we learn from here? Yachal, you might think, you Yisrael mitzapim l'chadash, that Am Yisrael at the end of Shemitah, in the next year, they're going to be waiting for the new grain, mipnei yashan shakala, because the old grain, the stuff that grew in the sixth year, that's already gone, and they're waiting for new grain. That's why the pasuk tells us, ad bay tvuasa, ad shetavay tvua meileha, the grain is going to come on its own, and you're not even going to be waiting for it, because you're going to have enough in your stores from the sixth year. This brisa is understanding that the grain is not going to get all wormy. Now, the Tankavas Rav Sheshes, we have brisa just like Rav Sheshes, the pasuk tells us, v'chaltam anatvua yashan, yachal, you might think, you Yisrael mitzapim l'chadash, bnei yashan shera, that Am Yisrael is going to have to wait for the new grain because the old grain that they stored from the sixth year went bad because of shidafan, because of this decay. Tamalimer, that's what the pasuk tells us. Ad bay tvuasa, ad shetavay tvua meileh, the tvua is going to come on its own, and the grain that they have from the sixth year is not going to decay. At Tanur Banu, we have a similar brisa using a pasuk that has the same words, this time not talking about Shemitah. As part of the brachas on klalos, the brachas tell us, v'chaltam yashan noishan, you're going to eat very old stuff. Yashan noishan is a double lashan meaning very old. Now, Malam, this teaches us, shakalim yashan mechaveirai, anything which is more aged than something else, have a yafan mechaveirai, it's better. The more aged it is, the better. Aged wine, aged cheese, aged whatever it is. Now, I might think that this is only something that it's a derech, it's normal to age it. Dvarm she'ein darkon liyashan miayin, how do I know that something that's even not very normal to age is going to be good aged? For example, fruit. You can't really age fruit. The longer fruit stays, it actually rots. Still, the pasuk is telling us that even fruit and things like that are going to be good aged. Minayin, how do we know this? Tamlam, because the pasuk says, yashan noishan, and this double lashan tells us, mikal makam, that all things are going to be better aged. The pasuk also tells us, v'yashan b'nei chadash taitziu, and what's this teaching us? Melamed shahayu oichas melein yashan, the storage houses are going to be full of old grain, ugranis melein chadash, and the threshing floor is going to be full of the new grain, v'hayu yisrael irim, and Am Yisrael is going to say, heich noitzi zeh b'nei zeh. What are we supposed to do? Take out this for that? We have plenty of old grain left, and old grain is actually better, but now we have this new crop of grain that we have to put somewhere, but our storage houses are full already. What are we supposed to do? We should all be given with problems like that. And our Republic concludes this parak by telling us, kol miliatika ma'alya, all old things are good. Labar mitamri, except for dates, fresh dates are much better. Veshechra and beer, fresh beer is much better. Veharsana and a small type of fish, those are much better, fresh. Hajj al Hamachar Sasvina, Mazel are finishing the fifth parak of Mesechus Baba Basra. Just like we're going to finish this parak together, we should be going to finish the entire Mesechus together, and of course, all of Shas together. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow, beginning the brand new parak. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.